dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. We are privileged to have a man who brings not only uncommon intelligence to these sorts of issues, but also serves on the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. He's also a member of the Senate Appropriations Committee and its Homeland Security Committee. In other words, an ideal person to provide, well, kind of a response, if I may say, to the President's State of the Union address, which will be airing tonight. He is Senator James Lankford. He represents the people of Oklahoma and is always a welcome guest here. Sir, welcome back. Good to have you. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year as well. Glad to be able to visit.
Thanks for taking the time. Nikki Haley, of course, the governor of South Carolina, is going to be giving the formal response to the president's address for the Republicans. She doesn't have a whole lot of background in the national security arena. You do. I'd like to just sort of get a sense from you as to what you think the president's going to try to take credit for and sort of a truth squad on it.
The challenge that I think the president faces in laying out this last year is to try to lay out accomplishments, and it is the habit of presidents at the end of their tenure to take credit for everything that's ever happened good in anywhere in the world and say, certainly I had a part of that as president. The challenge this president's going to have is looking at our economy and how stagnant the growth has been, looking at where Obamacare and healthcare is now, and the major problems that continue to roll out in healthcare and in banking and in so many ways. There are huge issues, but it will be very difficult for him to be able to identify, here's an area of the world that's more stable now than when he actually took office. As Jimmy Carter stated about a year ago now, Jimmy Carter noted in one of his speeches that there's not a place in the world where the United States has better relationships now than they had 8 years ago. We continue to struggle on the foreign stage, and that does affect our daily lives. While Americans think about their jobs and their families and what's going on in their local schools, we all keep an eye to what happens internationally because we understand we really are very connected and we face very serious risks. And those risks continue to grow.
One of the things that, of course, was brought home to us in your own state not so long ago, Senator, was the murderous attack, a beheading by a jihadist of a grandmother. That really, like the San Bernardino and the Chattanooga episodes, brought it home. I think this jihad is not someplace else. It's actually coming here. As you may know, your colleagues, former colleagues now, the House of Representatives on the Democratic side of the aisle are making a big play to bring Muslims to the State of the Union address tonight. Would it surprise you, or more to the point, concern you, if one of them is tied to a group that is directly linked to Hamas? A gentleman by the name of Nazar Hamza, associated with the Council on American Islamic Relations. This seems to me to be evidence of something coming serious, like cropper here at home.
It is, and it's one of those sad moments. America's always been a place where we absolutely have freedom of faith and religion. People can choose to have whatever faith they choose to have or whatever religion or have no religion at all. That's up to any American. We have that protected right. The difference is that we also believe, as George Washington did at the very beginning as well, that there is a culture that is an American culture that is extremely important, regardless of what faith that you have and that you practice, that we believe in a constitution, a rule of law, and a value for each human being, and that sets us apart. And there are parts of the world, and many Muslim countries around the world, where the individual is not valued. The individual is not important. The state is more important, and that's not who we are. And it's also an issue for us that we look at it and to say we believe in male and female and those individuals and in the balanced rights of each of those, and that's not so for many others. So when people bring in someone who has any connection to CARE or other organizations, I look at it and say, okay, you may be traveling a message home of faith. This is not about faith. This is an American value and basic national security.
Another outfit that is very much in that business, of course, is the so-called Islamic Republic of Iran. And I know, Senator, you've been very concerned Again, our guest is Senator James Lankford, both in connection with your intelligence work and other responsibilities in the Senate about this deal the president struck. I'm sure he'll be crowing about it tonight. We're lurching towards the so-called implementation day, and $100, maybe $150 billion will migrate to Iran. What do you think is likely to happen as they get that money?
I think the passage prologue, in the sense that what Iran has done in the past with a little bit of money, they're going to do a lot more of with a lot more money. So Iran has been the funding organization for Hamas and for Hezbollah in the region. They have been the one to be able to prop up Bashar Assad in Syria. They have organized and run the proxy war against Saudi Arabia in Yemen and the overthrow of the Yemeni's government. So I think we're going to continue to see them do the exact same thing. They'll just do it with more money and with more weaponry and with more advanced technology. That's going to be their same focus. I am shocked over and over again by this administration. Even at times we think, okay, they're starting to get it and to understand it. I see moments where they really don't. When Iran launches ballistic missiles capable of carrying a nuclear weapon, and the administration steps out immediately and says, this is a major problem, we're going to do sanctions. And then less than an hour later, they announce they've changed their minds and they're not going to increase sanctions. I'm not sure what Iran has to actually do to actually have sanctions start to be reimposed to them. So the administration is still pushing towards removing sanctions, as Iran keeps doing the same thing that they have done all along. And I don't know how the president tries to cover that up.
Senator, let me switch gears, because one of the other places where the Iranian nuclear threat, among others, is of concern to me and I think to many of us, is an area that's kind of in the sweet spot of several of your committee responsibilities. You serve on the Energy Subcommittee, the Senate Appropriations Committee, and also, of course, as I mentioned, on the Homeland Security Committee. And that is the vulnerability of our electric grid. And I wonder what your thoughts are on that vulnerability and the extent to which this ought to be a priority in terms of the kind of homeland security improvements we ought to be making in the face of these various threats.
So there are three different tiers of this at this point. The EMP, the electromagnetic pulse, which you're very familiar of and spoken of often, is an area that the nation has to continue to prepare for. We actually have passed some legislation in the last 6 months that starts to deal with some preparation for an EMP-type attack. Also, the cybersecurity. Last month, we passed a pretty major bill dealing with cybersecurity preparation and allowing companies to be able to share information back and forth, and for the government to be able to voluntarily connect with organizations as a true voluntary. If a business wants to be able to get advice from the FBI or from other organizations on cyber, they could do that as well. That is very important, because Iran, North Korea, Russia, China all have a part of their military structure reaching into American infrastructure. It is part of their own deterrent to say, if America ever attacks us, which we're not going to, obviously we're a peaceful country in that, but their threat is, if America ever attacks us, we'll be able to reach in and shut down your infrastructure based on a cyber attack. So it is, they can't match us militarily, and so their threat is, we'll shut down your governmental systems, your systems of all your infrastructure for your electricity, for your water, for your sewage, and we'll shut down all your banking systems. It is a very real issue for us and is a part of their defense plan, and it's one of the things that we need to be better prepared for that we're currently not. So we need to have the best folks in the world that actually work with the United States to be able to help protect our infrastructure as well. But it's something we need to be conscious of, that we're, just because we're peaceful to other nations doesn't mean other nations are going to leave us alone. They're proactively searching out ways to be able to put us at risk.
Senator, may I ask you one last question very quickly? To the extent that there are now these reports that the NSA has been used by the administration to monitor conversations between members of Congress and Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel with respect to this Iran deal. Should that be troubling to us, and is that a subject of investigation?
Yes, it is a subject of investigation, because on the Intelligence Committee, I can assure you, we have already engaged in that and started the process of pushing back on the administration. The administration has a responsibility for intelligence gathering for what happens to expose America, but to be able to listen in on Benjamin Netanyahu and to be able to suddenly realize, it seems apparent from the administration, their line is, we didn't realize we were listening in on conversations between members of Congress and Netanyahu leading up to the Iran nuclear deal. They were trying to gain information, and they've suddenly realized they made a major mistake. And we're trying to figure out what are they doing, how are they doing it. All nations do intelligence of some level. That's a standard practice for all nations, but you don't listen in on members of Congress. You don't track Americans and their conversations. That's not who we are. And so this will be one of many questions that we'll get a chance to push back, not because it's a member of Congress, because it's Americans and listening in and trying to track the communication of Americans.
Senator James Lankford, thank you very much for taking some time with us today. Thank you for your service to our country in the United States Senate. Keep up the good work and do come back to us again very soon. Zalmay Khalilzad joins us next. We'll talk about Afghanistan and Iraq right after this.
Visit us at Facebook.com/SecureFreedom with Frank Gaffney.